Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Nate Ritter on the line, and he is co-founder of Roomspeels. Nate, welcome to the show.
Adam, so good to be here. Thank you.
All right, Nate. So when I got this this topic, and when I was told that we're going to be working together today, I got excited. And I'll tell you, obviously, I do lots of interviews, and I like doing these on behalf of learning for my audience. But I'm a traveler too, obviously. And with some of the savings that that your clients are getting through Roomspeels, up to 90% off their hotel room rates, like I got excited because I like getting discounts too. So I'm in, and I can't wait to learn more about your platform and how you're doing this. But before we get into that, we're going to start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Nate, we at Mission Matters amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Nate, what mission matters to you?
My mission, and I'm going to go about this kind of from a personal angle. My personal mission really has to do with enabling people to have independence, to have growth, both personally and professionally, and to do all of that with the utmost amount of respect as possible. Those are kind of my three pieces of the puzzle. And then I apply all of that towards business as well. So that goes with like creating kind of win-win scenarios and all of that. So allowing people and giving as much value to people as I possibly can. And value is such a interesting term. A lot of people use this in kind of a vague way, but I have a very pretty specific definition if we can get into if we want to. But it's really just for me, it's about making sure that I add value, that my family adds value, that my kids, that we all contribute to society and allow people to grow with in a healthy way with respect and gain kind of independence as best as possible.
Awesome. Love bringing on mission-based entrepreneurs and individuals on the line to share, you know, why they do what they do, like their ethics behind it and their mission. So great having you on. And I guess just to get us started here, how did you get started in the travel space? Like, what was your story? How did you get attracted to this?
Yeah, it's interesting. My history, I like most, we all kind of do leisure travel, at least. And I was able to do some business travel as well here and there, but a lot of the time, most of the travel space was all just kind of done for leisure, for vacations and things like that. And so that was kind of the beginning, but really in terms of working at it was kind of a failure story more than it was a success story. I had an agency, a web development agency that we used to run, and we ran it for about 10 years in San Diego. And we decided one day, just kind of being burnt out with running for trying to find the next check and really trying to run the agency route. It's very difficult kind of business to run, that we decided to kind of close the service side of those doors. And I went out and got a job. And the first job that I really appealed to me was in the travel industry. And having done kind of the travel hacking pieces, I was interested in kind of like the deeper, darker corners of the travel industry. And I started building platforms, and I'm an engineer by trade. And so I applied that to this position and started building big platforms for companies, startups, and other companies, trying to help them with their, mostly it was a hotel brokerage type of businesses. And that's kind of where it all began. I got into group based travel and business travel, and then eventually I went to work for a broker who was doing more events, and then eventually was asked to become the CTO of a company who we partnered with, Formula One, and we were doing a lot of their hospitality or facilitating and helping their internal groups do technology, apply technology to their hospitality piece of their business. So that was really fun. But that's kind of the path that I took to get into the travel business, which is interesting. And I found a lot of nooks and crannies in the hotel industry, in the travel industry, that I never thought I would ever, that it ever worked this way. So that was the beginning.
Man, I love your story. And I mean, you know, I think a lot of our audience that are listening to this, maybe they have similar stories where they thought they were doing one thing, then a zig or a zag happened. So I mean, I was in finance for almost 14 years before I got into media, and that was just off of launching a book. And then we had a little podcast at the time. And, you know, years later, obviously I closed that practice down, couldn't do both. And I think about it is when I started digging into media and all of those things, and I just found it so fascinating and interesting when I figured out how it really worked. I'm like, oh man, I kind of saw my spot in the market where I could provide value, even though I never thought in a million years. I mean, if you told me, was I going to be a podcaster or host shows or this or that, I'd be like, yeah, right. I didn't even know what a podcast was. I don't even think podcasts were around when I graduated college, but maybe they were. I didn't know what they were. But I see your story, and I know a lot of other people that are listening to this are in similar kind of situations. If you could talk to maybe, let's say, the next group of, I don't even know if this is a word, it probably is, of travelpreneurs. If you could talk to the next group of travelpreneurs coming up, and, you know, obviously with the benefit of hindsight and, you know, running your business, like, what kind of things would you tell them on their way up to, you know, the ladder of success?
Man, that is a good question. I don't know. You know, I still feel a little bit of a kind of imposter syndrome being in the travel business because I've only been here for 7 years, but I talk to people all the time that have been doing it for 15, 20, you know, their whole life, 30 years. But I think the thing for me, and I think this applies to just about everything, not just to travel, but I think it's really just about continuing to learn. If you're stagnant in any industry, you're going to be, you're never going to continue to grow. And I think that's, at least from an entrepreneurial point of view, growth is everything, and not just growth for, you know, at any rate for any cost, but growth intentionally and looking at it more like stacking bricks, more like leveraging things. So, you know, learning something in the travel business, if you learn something, the way I have kind of applied this is, and I've been applying this even just this last week, is I'm constantly interviewing the people that I'm working with. And so I'm interviewing vendors, I'm interviewing customers, I'm interviewing all kinds of people that are in the space, asking them questions and just genuinely being curious about how it all works. And the more I learn, the more I understand where I can leverage my strengths and what I do and the team that I have into that space to actually make kind of an impact. And I think that's not just a travel thing. I think that's everywhere. I think, as we all know, kind of a lot of times travel can be niche. And so you can look at a very specific geographic location and specify that is your location. That's where you're strong in. And you should own it, right? You should know that space and own it and be very, very good at providing, providing value there and making sure that people are getting what they need out of your services for that area. So, but that means that you just constantly have to evolve and constantly have to learn. And that might mean you branch from, you know, hotels to, you know, service in some other area, or maybe, you know, recommending restaurants as a concierge or those kinds of things for foodies. I mean, there's so many different avenues to take, whether it be from, you know, events and concerts and motorsports or whatever it might be. I think as you learn, A, what you like, and B, what, you know, what are, you'll find these pieces and these nuggets that nobody else seems to understand quite as well as you do. And for some reason you get it, and then just double down on it. Like here's how I apply that. It, every so often, every year or two, I ask my closest friends and colleagues, and I say, what is it that I'm the best in your world at? And not the world, because I'm not the best in the world probably at anything, but the best in their world. And I think that gives you that idea as to what your strength is within your ecosystem, and then double down on it. And that to me is when you're leveraging your strengths and you're learning what these people see in you and your perception and their perception of you, when you can continue to foster growth in that area, it's amazing what starts to come of that and how much you enjoy what you're doing, even more so than you probably did before. So it's fascinating to see what other people think, from a different perspective too. I never would have guessed that some of the things that some of the people had told me were that was my strength for them. that's not what I felt at the time. And the more I looked into it, the more I was like, actually, I kind of like that area and I'm just going to keep going. But if you're not curious and you're not inquisitive about it and you don't look for growth in those opportunities, and it just simply won't come, and you won't zig when you need a zag, you know, as you said.
Awesome. Love it. And I had to go off on a tangent there. I know everybody's listening like, Adam, I thought you said we were going to learn how to save 90%. You're going to, but come on, I got it. Like, this guy's awesome. We got to get the real story. This is more than just a product or saving money. Like, for the entrepreneurs out there listening, like, entrepreneurs support entrepreneurs, man. So get with it. Yeah. So, all right, let's get into the money part of it. So Room Steals, tell me about the platform.
Yeah. Okay. So let me, if you don't mind, I'd love to tell you a little bit about the history of it, because this is the thing. So I've been out travel hacking for 10, 15 years. And by travel hacking, I mean like doing the whole, like in the United States, we can take out credit cards, get the bonus points, you know, do all that kind of stuff, look for loopholes in all of the different arrangements that are out there. We've done couch surfing. We've done renting our stuff on Airbnb. We've found new VRBO type platforms that will give you points just simply for listing your home, and you don't actually have to ever let anybody rent it. Like, we've done all of those things. And so for 10 years, my wife and I, we would travel both domestically and internationally, and we never paid for a flight or a hotel because we had done all of these point hacking type of things.
Wow.
And so it was super fun. And obviously, like, when we learned about it, we were like, I'm in, let's do this. It's going to be crazy. And it was, and it's been really good. But when I started working in the travel industry, as I mentioned, and started working in this group booking and some of these other places, this is where I found an inventory source of hotels that I never expected to see. And the deals were sometimes, on occasion, were so crazy. And I was like, I would never use my points to buy that hotel room, because I would be devaluing the points like 10 times. Mm-hmm. Like, it would make no sense for me to use my points. I would just pay dollars because it's that cheap. And so when I saw that, I started asking questions, because I know there's lots of restrictions in the industry about these hotel rooms. And so I said, well, you know, who can book these, and how does somebody get access to it? And the answers kept coming back. Well, anybody could really book it as long as you're part of a group. And I said, well, what does that mean? And so we kind of defined that, and we kept going round and round. And eventually I said, well, there's an idea here. Like, there's a business model here. And I mentioned this to my boss at the time, and I said, like, we should go do this. And he's like, nah, that'll never work. And I said, well, I want to go do that. And he's like, okay, mm-hmm. Have at it. And so we signed a couple pieces of paper that said I could go do it on my own. And you know, here we go. And so that's where Room Steals started. And so the platform, what it is it takes the wholesale rate that is available to those people inside of a group, and allows you to book that wholesale rate that hotels put out there on these other channels. And we just make that visible to the user. And so the only restriction is we can't publicize these rates. And that's industry rules. That's not our rules. We didn't make it up for our business model or anything like that. It's just part of the industry. And so because we can't publicize those rates, we have to have somebody log in. And so what we did is we made it a social login, and we said, well, just use your Google account, and then as soon as we know who you are, we can show you all the rates. And then because the rates are so cheap, I was like, well, I don't want to take that away from the consumer. If I was a consumer, I'd want to pay the cheap version. So what we did is we just wrapped it in a membership fee. So we're kind of like Costco for hotels. That's the way I explain it. So yeah.
And so, okay, so let's fast forward a bit. So you have this idea, you create it, you start to deliver, you know, for your clients. Like, what was the response on this?
It was,
because it's new. I'm like, I can't wait. I already, while we were talking, I've texted three people already and sent them a link. Like, hey, you got it. Literally, I'm interviewing this guy right now. If we were doing the video interview, I'd show you my phone. I'm interviewing this guy right now. This is interesting. I think we got a score on some hotel rates. Literally, I already texted three people. Roomsteals.com. So, like, what was the response?
Yeah, it was interesting. I think we went through a few different evolutions of the business model. And the funny thing is that the first time we put it out there, we put it out there at $1.99 a month. And there were some problems with doing that, but we still have one person, hi, Stuart, who's on as our customer from that day. And we always keep, you know, whenever you sign up, whatever rate you sign up at, that's your rate forever if you want it. So, and we've increased the price and now it's $95 a year, but the response was like, I can't believe that's a thing. Like, how is that real? You gotta be kidding me. And I think the thing is that because I've been the technology guy inside, you know, these hotel platforms and building some of these platforms, I think I have a little bit of credit there to that it's not just a weird hoax. But the interesting thing was like, I think people had a hard time believing that that was the reality, because there's so many little weird scams that are out there that they say they're going to give you something in return for like your email address or whatever, or register. And it just becomes a spam problem. And I understand that, like, it's hard for me to say, hey, come sign up and then you'll see the rates. And that's just not how the industry kind of generally works. But that's how it actually does work. And it's worked this way for a long, long time. But because the public rates are the public rates, and the hotels and the online travel agencies have agreed that they're not going to undercut each other on those rates, that's why what you see is pretty much almost always the same rate, unless you are part of a group or signed into something. And then you'll get like the Priceline Gold membership or the Loyalty Club membership or whatever. So those are where you're going to get those discounts, but you can't get those discounts on the public market. And so the response in general at first was a lot of skepticism. And that's why we built the social login piece, because we're like, okay, look, we don't really care. You log in however you want. Log in through Google and then cut us off later if you want to, you know, however you want to join. But we got to know who you are. And then we'll show you the prices for free. And when we built that social login, that's when it really turned around and everybody was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And for some funny reason, nobody cared that they would give us their social login instead of a, you know, registering a new username and password, but it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They worked. so
it
now people,
work. Yeah.
Yeah. So now people will join.
I love it. I love the just pushing the button and that's done. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got on
the
Life Hacker.
The other part's kind of hard sometimes. Yeah.
Right. And so when we started right before COVID, which is unfortunate, but we got on Life Hacker and we had 50,000 people hit our site in a day. And so the response was pretty huge. We knew we had something at that point. And so it was really just about making sure that we were able to deliver on that value that we promised. So.
Wow. That's amazing. Just to see like how this could happen. And just to see this niche and just to see this delivery, like I'm sitting here like, oh man, now I want to travel. So now you launched this during COVID. You got a ton of signups already. Like where does this go next? Like tell us about the plans for the platform and just expansion. Where does it go next?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a constant evolution. Like I said, we do a lot of interviews with customers. And we really want to understand what are the pain points they're experiencing both within our platform and just kind of in the market in general. So I think the next thing we're looking at doing is we have a bit of friction because our subscription is separate from the actual purchase of the hotels, and we're going to eventually bundle those together. And so you can purchase it all at one time. So that'll help. But I think the bigger issues that people experience now, especially having gone through COVID, are things like with these wholesale rates, some of the pieces of the puzzle that are difficult to understand is why, you know, people ask the question, why do a lot of the rates that we see on the platform not have cancellation policies, or their cancellation policies aren't great? And so what we're going to do is we're going to start building into it insurance, and so that you can purchase the insurance piece of it too. And that'll give you that cancelable rate in case something happens. So these are, unfortunately, the policies we don't control, the descriptions on the rooms or the imagery they give us or those kinds of things. That's all coming from the hotels, including their terms of service and their cancellation policies. So what we're going to try and do is try and smooth that out a bit more and give people more options to have some kind of trust in the industry. And that's really what we're after, because with trust, I mean, really from my point of view, I looked at it and said way back in the day, like, why does this exist and why had I never seen this before? And then I started distrusting the online travel agencies and other people, like, why am I not getting this rate when I could have booked it 10 years ago? And so our whole avenue with this, our whole point of view is We want to increase trust in the travel industry again. And that's why we don't take any money on the transaction. So we just say, this is the rate. It is what it is. We take no money on it. We don't take a commission or a margin, and we just, you know, let it book, and it's basically passes straight through to the provider of that room. And so from our point of view, we're trying to continue that process. That means like adding the insurance on there, making the friction a lot less to be able to get to those places, you know, customer service, all of these kinds of things we're trying to make a lot more trustworthy and a lot easier to use for the user's sake. And I come at it being the traveler. Like a lot of times when we make these decisions, we're asking these questions being travelers and saying, well, what would I want? And answering those questions, not only from our perspective, but from our customers as well, and saying, well, this is what we would want. And that's why it's such a weird revenue model. And everybody who, you know, from a business perspective that are like venture capitalists or angels, they're like, you're leaving so much money on the table. And I'm like, I know. And we're doing this on purpose because I would want, I would want that as a customer. Right. And I think
that's the thing.
Okay.
That's great. I love it. That should be, I mean, well, whatever. I'm not a venture capitalist and I'm sure people have opinions the way I run my business, but we leave money on the table too. And it's okay. Like I'm right with it. And speaking of spending some money, though, I was exploring your site and I see this picture. Need a staycation? Last minute weekend hotel steals, 40% off or more, only 4 and 5 star hotels. Get a happy Friday email. Oh my gosh, this is going to get me in trouble. I'm signing up for this right now, actually. Roomsteals.com/staycations. I'm signing up for this one, and now I can already tell I'm going to be itching for that email every Friday late, and I'm probably going to spend more money. I'm not going to save money on this because I'm going to spend more money because now I'm going to know what the deal is, and that's how you guys get me. That's how you get me on this. It's true. Like, the aggregate is going to be I spend more money, but I did save money on the front end, but that I'm going to take, I feel like, a few extra trips based off of this Friday email now. Thanks, Nate.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. I mean, really what we're trying to do is get people to travel more. And I have a personal like thing about travel. I think it opens people's eyes and I think it's worthwhile doing. And so if you get to go travel more, I think it provides empathy for you and the people around you. It is good for the world and it is good for you personally and your family and the people you're around. So if you do that and you take half that money and you go spend it on some experience that's amazing, that, you know, provides value for the local economy and, you know, you get value out of it and you can, you know, expand that empathy beyond, hey, we've done our job and it's worth every dollar, right?
Awesome. So, Nate, I could talk to you about this all day, but we're about out of time on this episode. If somebody wants to connect and learn more about Roomsteals and to connect with you and your team, I mean, what's the best way for them to do that?
My emails are open. So nate@roomsteals.com, or you can connect with me on Twitter, which is where I'm pretty active. Nate Ritter is my handle there, and N-A-T-E-R-I-T-T-E-R. Or you can just join roomsteals.com. You can email me. I mean, I read every email, every customer service email that comes in. I read everything and try and respond as best as possible. So I'm open book.
Fantastic. And we'll put all those notes in the, or all that, all those links and all that good stuff in the show notes so that people can just click on the link and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging on our platform, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share why they do what they do, their mission, and what gets them motivated to get up every morning and to make a difference in the world and in the marketplace. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or engaging to you, we definitely welcome you to hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Nate, really, it has been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on the show.
It's been really fun. Thanks so much, Adam.